you know?
From the Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.
Good morning. This is OneRadioNetwork.com. The telephone number is 888-663-6386. Email patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com.
Okay, here we go. Part number two of our little radio programming. And it's Andrew Goss and the Real World of Money. We're here every Wednesday. So I hope you can join us from time to time. And you have all the archives right there. Get yourself a whole education. Well, Paul Ryan is out there, Andrew Goss, and yesterday says, we're going to get this tax reform thing this year. Man, whoa. How are they going to do that? And I think they're announcing the healthcare thing, tomorrow. And they're going to announce, I guess, what their ideas for this thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't wait to hear. Hmm. You know, Nancy Pelosi, you remember her famous, you have to vote for the bill before you can figure out what's in it.
Yeah, you got to do that. Yeah.
You got to say, yes, we'll take it, and then you can see what's in it.
Paul Ryan says that we have the most screwed up, messed up, you just can't even make it up, tax system in the world.
I agree.
Probably so.
You know, anyone in business or with significant income has to hire an accountant. Hmm. You just can't do it yourself. It's not possible.
Here's a little quote that somebody sent us this morning from Thomas Jefferson, 1807. You have any 1807 coins? With Thomas pictures on it? Nothing can now be believed which is seen in the newspaper. Whoa.
That's right.
1807.
Yeah.
Truth itself becomes suspicious by being put into that polluted vehicle.
Right.
The real extent of this state of misinformation is known only to those who are in the situation to confront facts within their knowledge with the lies of the day.
That's right.
I really look with commiseration over the great body of my fellow citizens who, reading newspapers, live and die in the belief that they have known something of what has been passing in the world. I will add that the man who never looks into a newspaper is better informed than he who reads them, inasmuch as he knows nothing is nearer the true truth than to whom mind is filled with falsehoods and errors. Thomas Jefferson's letter to John Norville, June 14th, 1807.
Yeah, he was a newspaper guy.
That's amazing.
He wrote Jefferson a letter and was like, what do you think of this?
Yeah. Wow. I got to put that on my little Facebook page today. That'll thrill the loopy libs, boy.
Yeah, the guy who reads nothing
is better off
than the one who reads it every day.
I mean, did the boys have the papers ending in 1800s?
Yes,
and a thousand times.
And a thousand, yes. Yeah, because Hamilton famously wrote under a pseudonym for these newspapers, in putting the views of those, you know, the Federalists and the Anti-Federalists. Uh-huh. They were hard at work, each getting a paper and each corrupting the other or attempting to. So it is it's a well-established historical fact that the political parties have taken to the media to express their views. And media, shamefully, you know, it was only when the Federal Communications Commission gave them the right to the airwaves. It said, look, if you're going to use these public airwaves, we just ask for one thing, that for 1 hour each day, you give the news to the people. That's it. And the news organization was separate from everything else, never had to count for revenue, never had to account for ratings.
I remember, that was the 60s or 70s, wasn't it?
Yes, no. Yes, it was. No. Yeah. And then with deregulation, of course, out went news agency, so we lost the news with that.
And Andy, when I first started in radio in the late 60s and early 70s, you could only own six radio and six TV stations.
That's it. Sure. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I wonder if they could go back. You know, maybe Mr. Trump is going to get so enraged over all this fake news stuff. Couldn't the FCC just do that again? Whoa.
Yeah,
wouldn't that be a kicker?
Yeah, the over-the-air broadcast, I don't know, bandwidth being what it is, hard to say.
Yeah, it's hard to say, yeah, because there's not that much broadcasting being done anymore, is there? Yeah,
no, it's all point
cast. But then couldn't you could just come up with your own laws for cable too. But no, you couldn't. Well, I guess it doesn't matter. I don't know. Yeah. I guess maybe the toothpaste is out of the tube for this one. I don't know.
Well, you know, for me, it would be just simple for people who do news commentary.
Yeah.
Which is okay, you know, at the end of every news broadcast.
Like they used to do?
Yeah, they would say,
this
is my opinion.
My opinion.
And here it is now.
Mm-hmm.
Before we were giving you the news is only the news, and here's my opinion. So these, I don't even know what to call them, these pundits who call themselves reporters, or worse yet, journalists, really should be ashamed of themselves. They're so biased as to be unable, in my view, to be a journalist. Yeah. Journalist approaches the story with a view towards telling the truth. True facts, that's it. That's what we do. Here are the facts. What is it? What, why, when, where, how. That was it. And now it's all opinion. And so the person with a right-leaning opinion is going to publish the right-leaning news, and the person with the left is going to publish the left-leaning news. If you knew the difference, like, okay, I know Fox News is, you know, right-leaning conservative. I know CNBC is left-leaning liberal. And so when I watch their news, I get both sides, and I understand that I'm seeing both sides.
Yeah.
But a lot of people, you know, when I talk to them, what do you mean, Fox? What do you mean?
Oh.
So it's news is not news? No, it's not. It's definitely not news.
Not news.
The only place where you're going to get news is source material, and then you have to get it yourself.
Very few of that. Isn't there a place called One America Network or something like that?
Yeah.
Is that pretty good?
Yeah. It's yeah.
Is it kind of neutral?
Yes, very. But there are, you know, there's Graham Ledger is on there, and he has an opinion, and he, you know, makes it known that that's his opinion, as is Liz Wheeler, you know, another one who journalist in my view. But definitely when she's putting her opinion out there, wow, does she put her opinion out?
Uh-huh.
So yeah, One America News, check it out.
Is it One America Network or One America?
OAN, One America Network. I think they have an affiliate, American Wealth or something.
Uh-huh.
But the One America News Network is strictly news without, in my view, forgive me, without outside influence from advertisers.
I wonder who owns them. Anybody know?
Yeah, I think it's a consortium out of San Diego, small operation, but they seem to have the right idea.
Good for them.
And the other one is, of course, Newsmax, which is also brought a network to air. So between the two, you get at least some balance, or in this case, more right-leaning because the media is so heavily tilted to the left.
Yeah, it appears that it's right, but it's probably more center just because there's so much lefty stuff out there.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Well, it was fascinating to watch the two different people, even though both of them are, I mean, Oliver Stone is totally a lefty, but there's something about him. He's got some real fairness about him, and he went over there, and they did four nights on Showtime with Putin, and really, really good. It was well worth it. I did a trial thing for Showtime on my computer just to watch it for $9 bucks, and then Megyn Kelly went over there, the new gal at NBC, and she did a thing with Putin. And if you look at the raw data, which is out, the raw, somebody leaked the raw material, not what they aired on NBC, and Putin really pretty much told her that she should be ashamed of herself for coming over there and scolding Russia about the way they run their country, asking him about democracy.
Yeah, it does take some nerve.
Oh man, he just laughed at her, and it was
because, well, and those who buy the official line, you know, about how we're so democratic and we don't influence other people's election, would. It would be easy to, you know, put the outrage on because of the ideals of America, and they believe in them. So,
and Megyn Kelly mentioned to him, and they didn't air this part either, that there's 13 intelligence agencies in the United States said that the Russians meddled in the elections, and he said, "Did you read those?"
Hmm.
And she said, "I read the." She was caught off guard. She didn't read them. She said, "I read the." Non-classified version. I said, well, I read the classified versions. And there is no evidence of all these 13 that keeps being repeated, he said. They're all just theories. He said they're all theories. They're all theories.
Right.
You know, it's just amazing that this is going on. But
yeah.
I don't know why I should be surprised.
Because she could truly be naive, right?
Whew, man.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it is possible. You gotta always, don't credit conspiracy where stupidity or ignorance will fit. Yeah.
Well, she's a cutie. Okay, so I don't think you should move to Illinois.
No. Gee, if now, I lived in Illinois, I'd be
people don't even
like
trust. They don't even trust the Powerball thing now.
No.
You know, what's at this? What's at the bottom of all this? Is it the pension funds?
Well, sure. It's basically that they've spent and promised far more than they can ever afford to pay back, so they're going to take it anywhere they can get it.
Wow. So where are they going to get it?
From the citizens of Illinois.
No kidding. Mainly the pension funds.
Well, the folks who are promised a pension fund.
I see, yeah, yeah. Because they don't have a lot of cash sitting around.
Illinois' only choice is to sell off its infrastructure, kind of like the big garage sale. So start unloading toll roads and parking facilities and parks. I can only imagine how much they'll privatize in an attempt to raise funds. So the, one-time cash infusion in exchange for the right to collect, the Illinois tollway for the next 100 years.
Mm-hmm. Good morning. He says one thing that is confusing with all the conflicting reports of healthcare reform is whether or not health insurance still mandatory by law. Does Andrew know, is it? If it is, what are the chances the mandatory component will be removed?
I think chances are very good the mandatory component will be removed. That was the biggest thing people found offensive. It's like, okay, you could provide any sort of voluntary program that you want, but don't tell me I have to buy your product.
Right.
So I would think that's one of the more critical components that has to be taken care of. For me, I don't understand a very basic level of medical care in this country shouldn't be that hard. It's simple legislation. Just open the Medicare Act and remove the words over 65 and you're done. Close it back up, vote on it up or down. So then everyone has an entitlement to basic health care. And if you want anything better than that, then you buy private insurance policies that supplement, sort of like the way it's done with Medicare program now. So if you don't like your Medicare, you don't think it provides enough, then you can buy additional coverage. But for the most part, it might keep you from dying. So it's yours, it's there, and you don't have to break yourself to get basic medical care.
Well, the Medicare thing, I guess, started during President Johnson, right? So what would be wrong with just letting people and a total free market and everybody compete? Couldn't people get the insurance they wanted at a pretty reasonable rate as long as they didn't fix the prices?
No.
Okay.
So
because they would.
Would. And we've talked about this before in the idea of, national institutes of health that hire doctors and put doctors through school, and in return they get a certain level of medical service or a certain a period that they have to work at the Medicare clinic or however you want to structure that. We don't match the two. If every kid who wanted to be a health professional or doctor had an avenue to do so without having to go into debt for the rest of their lives. Right. So, okay, you go to college, go to medical school, and we're going to pay for all that. And we may even own the college that you go to. And when you come out, you have to work for us for 5 years or 10 years, whatever that number might be. And when you're done with that level of service, then you can go into your own private practice. And then for the citizens, it's you've got this basic level of health care, and if you don't like that or want it or you want something better, then you can buy additional insurance. Yeah, yeah. That's how I would handle it. It makes
sense. And then if you want to just take care of yourself and not even do the doctor thing. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah.
You got all these different.
But God forbid you fall off
things,
a ladder and break a leg, or
then
you
got to have some other kind of insurance.
You can put all the aloe on it that you want. It's not going to reset your broken leg. So at that point, you might have to go to the hospital and stay there for a few days, and you don't want to be bankrupted just because you had to do that.
Of course, the opposite thing now, Andrew, as you know, is going on. The natural docs, they're just not of a state of consciousness where they can even deal with this insurance. So they don't really take
they
it.
They don't participate.
In naturopaths and acupuncturists, they don't participate in that.
Right.
And then they're making it more and more difficult to get this stuff because they arrest people for.
Yeah, through regulation,
through regulation. I have a little low level laser that really cool that I got in exchange for doing commercials maybe, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 years ago. And, this fellow today is on trial. Mm. They want to put him in jail from selling this laser.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just not right,
No, it isn't.
There must be so much juice as far as the money and the control and the lobbyists, huh, Andrew, in this field that it'd be difficult to get anything done if you put the Dalai Lama in the presidency.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? It's just the forces against this. It just must be huge. Well, $3 trillion is a lot of money.
Right.
Not chump change. If the boys, this is Tom. If the boys focus on keeping house prices and rental prices increasing, that in itself will be a major component of hyperinflation that prices people out of other things and that they want and need, especially assist in the overall agenda of packing people into overcrowded cities, specifically into highly numerous sprawling condos and apartments that have been and are have been built at a very fast pace. Also is leading more people to seek government assistance, which obviously takes sovereignty from people and gets them on a dangerous path. Then the boys can have their government say, well, if you want to keep getting assistance, you need to comply with this, get vaccines and all of that. Bless you both for your show and success and happiness. Love the shows from Tom. Hmm.
Yeah, I agree. The Fed and the federal government have an enormous stake in the housing market and will do everything in their power to keep it propped up. So not only will they continue to buy, not sell, mortgage-backed securities, but they'll keep rates at a level that make it attractive for home ownership.
Mm-hmm. Do you know that? Check this out. One in four people in the United States have no savings. None.
Yeah, yeah. No.
24% don't even have a single dollar, according to this survey, saved for an emergency. And that's just one of the many surveys showing how little we have saved. Well, maybe they just listen to your show and say, save your money.
No, we love to spend our money. We spend it. And this is one of the other things I like about coins. It's a way to spend money and save it at the same time. So, you buy a $20 gold coin.
You're spending your money.
You're spending it. Wow, that was exciting. I spent it. But now you're saving it at the same time. So I'm a coin fan. I think I always will be, as a method of saving. Even for the smallest child, the idea of gathering coins and putting them in books and putting them in piggy banks. Coin collecting has long been a great way to save money.
Uh-huh. This is from JP. Can Andrew recommend any gold mining stocks? I would like to learn more about that or where I could learn about gold mining stocks.
No, I'm not that guy. Gold mining stocks essentially broken into four categories, with two main categories, hedged and unhedged. So we either have sold our production forward and we're fixed and locked in at today's price, or we've not sold our gold production forward and we're fluctuating according to the marketplace. So that's two main categories, hedged and unhedged. And then the other are exploration and mining. So I have gold in the ground. I need your money to get it out. and I already have it sold, or I have gold in the ground and I need your money to get it out, and I don't already have it sold, or I want to take your money and go looking for gold.
Oh.
And if I find it, we'll both be rich, and if not, well, we both lose money.
If you want to invest, do you know, can you tell which one you're...
No, you better. You better know which one is which.
Right.
So there are indexes that you can buy. But, you know, just like everything else, once the company starts to make money, it's up to the board of directors whether or not you, the shareholder, make any money. And then say, oh, well, yeah, we had a good year. Let's have our board of directors meeting in Fiji. And by the way, Joe, you could use a raise. And you know what? All of us could use raises. And so by the time they're done spending the money, there's a lot left, I mean, a lot less left for the shareholders. So there are too many variables there for me to keep up with. But there are a great number of wonderful mining analysts out there, and there are indexes that allow you to buy all of them, the junior miners and the more senior miners, et cetera, and the exploration companies versus the
extraction. So you kind of spread your risk
with
the index.
Yes, with the index, and you limit your return like everything else.
Now, have you ever seen the movie I saw last night, really good, Gold? The name
is
of the movie?
A movie or a
The name of the movie is Gold. No, it's a movie. Matthew McConaughey. And you might know this. They said it was based on a true story. A gold mining thing out of Indonesia. Warsaw in the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
Warsaw. Was it Warsaw?
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a story about this whole Indonesian guy. And the Matthew McConaughey character, he partnered up with this fellow. And he didn't know, but this guy was salting
the geology reports.
Salting the geology reports, and he had it so nobody knew it. Even the bankers come over there and looked, but tell folks what that is, salting. This was really cool. It was really
well, essentially, if you have a mining claim,
yeah.
And there are a lot of these in Vancouver, too, the moose pastures.
Moose pastures? there's gold in them there, mooses.
Yeah. They send a geologist out there, or they get soil samples to a geologist and say, you know, this is a sample of the soil. Tell us the gold content. And I guess if it's unadulterated, you know, and you get an honest plug, then you count the gold and you can determine the value of the land.
Yeah.
But if somebody has stuck some gold into the plug, and so the soil sample that the geologist gets is salted with gold, then... Obviously, it's going to appraise higher than a sample that isn't salted with gold.
Yeah,
right?
And in Indonesia, they had some pretty strict rules about it, too. I mean, these packages had to be unopened and sealed and all this stuff. But this guy figured it out.
Yep.
And they did it. And it was a big deal on the New York Stock Exchange.
Sure.
And they lost, I think, I don't know how much money was lost, a lot. I think billions, because the whole thing at the end of the day, there wasn't any gold there.
That's right.
And there was all kinds of people around the world, big firms in on this thing.
Sure.
They were all just...
Well, because what they saw is, after, the aftermath, yeah.
That was really quite, I think you'd enjoy this story, being a gold guy. It's called Gold. Matthew McConaughey is the story.
Well, yeah, it's the story of Briex, which is essentially...
The story of what?
Briex.
Oh, they must have changed the name.
Well, that's the Canadian mining company that was involved in that scandal back then. There was most famously a guy fell out of a helicopter.
Oh, that's right. they pushed him out.
Well, he came out of the helicopter.
But it wasn't him.
Yeah. Yeah, no, right.
It wasn't him. He ended up with, I think, $165 million,
yeah,
according to the movie. The guy who supposedly went out of the helicopter and then had some pigs.
Tried to fly.
And they said, I don't want to do it. Okay, we have our last segment coming up here. We're going to do a quick little break with Andrew Goss. If you have an email question, come on in. 888-663-6386 is the telephone number. Patrick@oneradionetwork.com. Well, we love our little Water Vitalizer Plus. This is a cool thing. And if you... you listen to our show, you know how critical it is to have your cells hydrated, you know, for everything from blood pressure to kidney function. I mean, it's just really, really critical. Get some good water in there. The basic structure we kind of use, it's a good starting point. Everybody's different, of course, depending how much you sweat and stuff. and how active you are, but pretty good. A pretty good spice to start would be 1/2 ounce per pound per body weight. So 150 pounds, you know, you have about 60, 70 ounces, maybe 1/2 gallon, something like that. And that'll probably get you. But if you structure your water, so say you you filter it, reverse osmosis or another filtering system, because we don't recommend street water, city water. We don't recommend street water. So if you filter it, and then you can get a Vitalizer Plus from Ken Rolla through our website. You'll see the golden pyramid there on the right side. Scroll down there and get a Vitalizer Plus. I think it's about $300, but it's going to last forever. You can tell this thing is really well built. Just hums along like a little BMW. Has different controls and different settings for how long you want to structure it. And boy, you see this beautiful tornado type affair right down the center. I mean, it's really structuring it. They have some slides and some film that they had before and after structuring. You see the difference in the water. The first before, if it's just distilled water, looks like a black blob. And this is with those Emoto micron microscopes they have. Really amazing, these microscopes. And then you can look at the structure of the water after it's been structured, and it looks like a beautiful snowflake. Now, which one would you rather put in your body? And which one do you think would hydrate your cells more? And the cells are always bringing moisture in and out all the time, 24/7, all the time. It's a pretty amazing little thing. This is a water structuring device. You can also check out the Golden Pyramid when you're there, which is the Scalar Energy Rest Shield that we talked about yesterday to protect people from electromagnetic fields and magnetics. Wow, there's a great show with Dr. Jacobson. Listen to that one. So these are two cool things that you can get from Ken Rolla. And we just found out this morning, so it's going to be my last opportunity to tell you here, because we're coming towards the end of the show, is that Sir Thrival, because it is the 21st of June, 21% off today only, summer solstice sale. This let us know at the last minute. Well, here it is. Summer solstice event, 21% off today at all Sir Thrival products through One Radio Network. You want to use a coupon code Solstice17. Solstice17. All Sir Thrival products. So that's the colostrum, the Schizandra, the pine pollen, of course, the elk velvet antler. What else do we have here? We've got, what else do we got there? Oh, then we got the Shagarishi and the colostrum. So there you have it. Solstice 17, a Sir Thrival link, 21% off today only.
We hope you're enjoying the program on OneRadioNetwork.com with Andy Goss and Patrick Timponi. For those of you interested in acquiring gold and silver coins, SDL Incorporated at 1-800-878-2646 is providing information for investors who would love to learn about how to properly acquire United States gold and silver coins. Call us today for free information at 1-800-878-2646 and learn how to incorporate gold and silver coins into your personal portfolio. USGoldCoins.com, 1-800-878-2646.
And also, if you're interested, Andy's got some cool CDs. Andrew, they must be on they're CDs. They're not.
Yeah.
I can remember when
people
they used
who
to
don't
be
have
on cassette.
Yeah, when you don't have a computer in the car.
Yeah.
And you want to listen maybe on the commute. The three most popular are The Definition of Money.
Yeah.
What the heck is a dollar?
What's a dollar?
And the Federal Reserve, of course. And then the third, Protecting Your Wealth. You can get all three of those free by calling 800-468-2646. Just mention you heard it on One Radio Network. And again, it's a CD. Like, the kind that you buy at the used to buy.
I have a set that you sent me long ago on cassette.
Yeah,
I'm gonna hold on to those. They're gonna be a collector item someday. You know. Yeah. What do you think? So if somebody wants to buy what you call coin silver, which would be quarters, dimes, halves, things like that before 65.
That's a great time to buy those.
Do you guys? Yeah, I mean, look at the price of silver.
Silver's down in the dumps a little bit. Yeah, 16 bucks.
So you'll have those. And how do you sell? How do you sell those? Do you sell?
Well, they're 90% silver.
Yeah.
So, you know, $1,000 face value bag.
Yeah.
So generally, with silver at 16 bucks, maybe it costs you $14,000 or so. And you get quarters, dimes, and assets. But essentially, you're buying them bulk. So you're not paying for individual collector coins that may or may not be
just
in the bag.
Just a whole bunch of coins.
Just a whole bunch of quarters, a whole bunch of half dollars, a whole bunch of silver dimes. The bulk of the value being in the fact that they're silver. So, yeah, that's good stuff.
So if someday silver would go to, you know, whatever, $100, right?
Yeah.
If it did, would that $14,000 investment today, would it be worth? I mean, would it be
worth
8 times that or 7 times
or
that?
More? Because again, when by the time silver gets $200, people will be taking these bags of coins and melting them. So then it'll be hard to find a 1954 Washington quarter. And so the premiums develop. So when I started this business, walking Liberty halves were routinely thrown into bags of coin silver. Now it's hard to get a bag of coin silver with walkers included because they sell for a separate and distinct premium. Same is true of the Mercury dimes and the Barber dimes and the old standing quarters. So as time goes on, as coins are lost to attrition, the survivors suddenly gain a premium. So not only can you make money from the fact that silver goes up, but also from the fact that your coins become scarcer by virtue of being eliminated through every round of silver increases. You recall when silver was in the $40 range, the premium above the silver content, you know, was $4 and $5 per ounce for these coins. And what happens is when the silver price falls and the demand falls, then the premium kind of evaporates. So the time to buy is when silver's at the bottom of the scale. So if you thought of adding coin silver, this would be a great time to do it.
But say if silver went to $100 someday, and you had your bag that you paid $14,000 for in 2017, you wouldn't have to melt them down
to get their value.
No. You could just sell them to a coin dealer.
Or sell them
back to you. Or
sell them back to me, I would hope.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, if you took a bag that you bought 25 years ago and you opened it up and pulled the components out, I guarantee you would find coins in there that don't belong in a junk or coin silver bag today.
Oh, I see. So you don't go through all those?
We don't.
Wow.
No. We run them through the coin counter. Hmm. Whatever you find in there is what you find in there. We pull out what are called culls, where the device is worn off. You can't tell what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But everything else that's, you know, good or better winds up in those bags. And for us, it's a much more efficient way to sell. And for the buyer, it's a much more efficient way to buy rather than trying to buy them a roll at a time or a coin at a time where they're priced individually according to their condition. So I've long recommended that to folks, especially at half dollars. If you're considering a purchase of a silver dollar, let's say, that might cost $23 or $24 because it's collectible and it has a premium, you could get two silver half dollars. Has the same amount of silver, essentially, you know, within a fraction. Say three would be great. So if you bought three half dollars, you'd get a third more silver, and you'd pay about the same price as a silver dollar. So to me, the half dollars represent the greatest buy in the silver market right now.
Mm-hmm. If you'd like to talk to Andrew, a number up there is 800-468-2646, 800-468-2646. Last Wednesday, writes an emailer, you asked Andy the following question from me and even put my question in the show notes, but he never really totally answered my question, but rather responded to the comment you made after posing my question. What do you believe his answer would be, please? Okay, so I probably got you off track, which I do sometimes.
Let's redo the question.
Let's redo the question. Let me get there. Hold on a second.
I do that occasionally. Somebody asks me what time it is. I tell them how to build a watch.
Okay. Lucretia wonders if China is selling, if China's selling bonds will affect housing prices. China is very illiquid. 20% of their assets have no value at all. One of the world's largest creditors, but also one of the world's largest debtors. They use money as a tool for political reasons. Actually, she's reading from the show notes that Lynn wrote, so I don't know what the actual question was. I guess it's the idea that Chinese selling their bonds will it affect housing prices.
China's selling U.S. bonds,
yes.
I assume?
Yes. Oh, that's right, because you said they were for the first time after many years of people saying they were.
Right. Yes.
Right.
So that will affect interest rates, which will obviously affect housing. As interest rates rise, the demand for housing falls.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right.
But again, I think the Fed will step in to counteract any... I mean, that really was the focus of the show this morning, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, $600 billion in selling by the Fed,
ooh.
$600 billion in new borrowing by the Treasury, and now what, $100 billion in sales by China? All of that is bad for the bond market, obviously. So if the bond market bubble bursts, mortgages might be the only safe place for a typical institutional investor to go.
Mm-hmm.
Not mortgage-backed securities, but the actual mortgages themselves.
John writes, I listened to the show last week and enjoyed it, and you played the tape of Jim Rogers, and then Andy said he agreed that we're going to experience something really bad, probably worse than 2008. I'm not clear, John writes, of what we could experience.
Well, plummeting.
We meaning the culture, the United States. The United States.
We'll see a plummeting of the dollar. In the past year, the dollar has appreciated by about 20% in trade-weighted terms.
Been huge, right?
Scott the trader, bless him, warned us about it, told us about it. I think that we've kind of peaked out in dollar terms. So
it's at 97 on the index now.
Yeah. I mean, we're back over 100 doesn't seem likely to me. Back down to 88 seems very likely to me.
Wow.
And all the way down, it will be extremely painful for anyone who's holding a debt instrument of any sort. If you're holding bonds, if you're holding CDs, if you're holding corporates, AAAs, treasuries, doesn't matter.
Because as the dollars go down, interest rates go up, and then your interest rate that you're holding sucks.
That's it.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Right.
So I think that the bond bubble is probably the most likely thing. To
get things started.
Yeah, get things rolling. What starts it, it could be anything.
Yeah.
Goodness, yeah. We've looked at every angle, but there's so many
banks, Andrew. Deutsche Bank, oh, man.
There's so many risks.
Yeah, there's a lot
of it could
stuff
be any
there.
One of a dozen things that triggers it. But once it starts, controlling it will be exceedingly difficult for the Fed.
Because everything's kind of hooked in together.
Yes, it is.
Like
and you think about their own losses to their balance sheet. They're holding this $4.7 trillion pile of debt instruments that if interest rates rise, they lose value. And then the banks also holding enormous quantities of debt worldwide. Dollar-denominated debt has doubled in the last decade. So, everyone who's bought debt in this period at 2%, 2.5%, 3%, boy, they're going to suffer. And that's going to cause tremendous losses across the board. So that's what I mean by tsunami, whatever we're calling it this time. But it's perked and brewing.
Yeah. There's another big bank in Germany out today that have canceled... canceled interest payments on a couple of bonds.
Yeah.
There is trouble in paradise all over the world, isn't it?
Yeah, especially at a time when we're talking about a step backwards in financial regulation.
Uh-huh.
So the controls that were put in place, made it a little more conservative to rely on the banking system. So, they couldn't do this, they couldn't do that, and so forth.
Well,
and now we're talking about totally reversing that legislation and just letting the banks do whatever the heck they want. I don't know that that's going to eliminate risk.
So you would think, though, Mr. President Trump being a business guy like he is, and Mnuchin seems like he's a pretty smart dude, that they would be talking about this or on this or to kind of pave the way. If they get clobbered, they won't get really clobbered politically, but you don't hear much at all except that things are going to be good.
No, Mnuchin's trying to stretch out the maturities of U.S. Treasury bonds. And
as you talked about, like even 50s, right?
Right. Or Argentine hundreds. Right. And then the Choice Act, right?
I don't know that. What's that?
Well, that's their rollback the regulations coming out of the House Services, Financial Services Committee.
They want the banks to be able to do more stuff.
Yeah.
More free stuff or whatever.
Yeah.
Loose and goosey.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, remember they came up with that designation, SIFI or SIFI, Systematically Important Financial Institutions.
I haven't heard that one.
Yeah, because travelers didn't want to be included. You know, they're like, we're an insurance company. We're not a financial institution.
Yeah.
So it's like anyone that the Fed says, oh, you're a significantly, systemically important financial institution, so you need strict supervision.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Choice Act drops that designation. So I don't know that it's a good idea to take away the very thing that foisted discipline on what was left of the banking industry. Once you take out their equity requirements and so forth, they become illiquid. Then suddenly it's up to the taxpayer to bail it out. Only this time they've left the opening for a bail-in. So the depositors themselves in these institutions that are freed from financial regulation would themselves be at risk if the firm takes any loss. So I think it'll take a few of those types of events before people will care whether or not their institution is gambling with their deposit money.
Uh-huh. Oh, just a new story just out this morning. Government in Illinois, they're spending, check this out, $600 million more a month than they're taking in. Whoa. And so the chief controller is out this morning saying, you know, we're in very, very serious condition concerns. Timely and predictable payments we cannot guarantee any longer, and we can no longer function. Well, man, oh, man. So you say they're coming after the people. They're coming after the people's money, right?
That's right. But it's only a state, you know.
Just a state. Well, a couple more here.
I don't know if you caught in October now. You know, I'm not a big sports fan. I've made that clear. But as bad as things are in Illinois, they still found like a couple $100 million to renovate a football stadium, right?
You know, people love their sports up there, man. Man.
But you're totally
broke, man.
Chicago
Cubs, man.
You have the
Cubs.
Controller telling you can't pay the debt that you already have.
What do they care?
You go and rack on more so you can watch a football game. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
So who's the dude running the place? It's a Mr. Obama's friend, right?
Chicago is in Rahm Emanuel.
Rahm Emanuel, right? Yeah, God. Boy, I bet you he did.
But this isn't just Chicago.
This is the whole state.
This is the whole damn state.
Jeez.
You know, we're not talking about municipalities anymore. Now it's like the entire state is broke. Same with New Jersey. Now, we hide it better, but we're just as desperate as Illinois.
You hide it better.
Yeah. They're much better at
hiding. Well, your guy Chris Christie's taking a beating. He looks like his political career is like toast, you know.
Doesn't matter. He'll go be a lawyer now and, you know, through his lobbying efforts, him and his former buddies in the state Senate, you know, a former law firm, and be lobbyists for all the people that they have implanted in government. Remember those career bureaucrats that hang around long after the politician's gone? We leave them here in New Jersey. They're always in place.
I think he's be lobbyist for Krispy Kreme. Just kidding. Okay. That was terrible. Derek is in Honolulu, Hawaii. Good for you, Derek. How's paradise? Man, let's go. Your show is so informative. I learned so much. I'm looking at purchasing real estate in Japan, in the next couple of months, and was wondering, in light of your predictions of an economic downturn in the second half of 2017 or 2018, what would be the effects of this purchase? This is a rather large house, seldom offered, so if the negative effects aren't too bad, do you think it'd be advisable to go ahead, a big home in Japan? Who knows, man?
I think, don't they have a demographic issue where they don't have enough youngsters to...
In Japan?
Yeah.
Yeah, their birth rate is very, very low. Why? What are you getting at?
Well, that's what generally drives the housing market are new housing formations, right?
Uh-huh.
So people forming families and want to get a house and so on. I don't know. I'm not an expert at all in the Japanese housing market. I'm not familiar enough with it to render an opinion. But for me, you know, unless you're going to live in Japan.
Yeah, boy. So he's thinking maybe he's going to live there or something.
If you're going to live there, sure. Go to Japan, buy a house, and live in it. That's one thing. But to buy there for an investment, I really can't advise you on that.
And
sorry.
Just so you know, I mean, the little as I know about Japan, Andrew, you taught us over the past 20 years, right? They've been just printing,
suffering.
What's their thing? It's not a yuan,
it's a yen.
Yen, yeah. They've been just printing yen like there's no tomorrow. But the Japanese people, they're pretty conscious of money, right? In banks and stuff
and
like
very
that.
Thrifty.
And so they just don't spend money. And their MZM over there, money with a zero maturity, is probably kabillion yens.
Yeah,
they're just not spending at all.
Yeah.
Because they don't trust the banks now.
Of course,
Here's an email, a couple more. There's an old ghost story that seems to go around, is that a small business shouldn't expect it to post a profit for the first 3 years in its operation. Is there any truth to this? What can a first-time business owner do to see financial gains from the beginning? Is that true, 3 years?
It's just that...
No.
Well, you know, traditionally speaking...
Yeah. You're supposed to have 3 years put away so you can survive?
Startup costs are what generally eats
that
number.
I didn't do that at Timpone's Market. Jeez.
Right. So, you know, you start up, and in the first 3 years, you need.
I got you.
Right. You buy, and you depreciate your plant, your equipment, and the stuff that you use. And so... After you've sort of paid that down, and not as much as required to have your infrastructure in place, then you start to make additional profit. I think it's more having to do with accountants, who I think you need to show a profit in order for it not to be classified as a hobby. It's like you can't show losses every year, and as long as you're showing, you know, one or two profitable years in five. Then the IRS will leave you alone.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, the idea that 95% of all small businesses fail in 5 years.
Is that true?
I think is, well-established fact.
Wow. Boy, if you could just break even and had 3 years saved up to pay yourself, boy, that'd be pretty good. I mean, if you had that kind of bread or dough or whatever. Bread, dough.
Scratch.
What are they going
to do? I think you can make dough from scratch then you have bread.
Well,
I think scratch is the key to it all. As long as you have the scratch, you're in good shape. Everything. So much stuff is made from scratch that maybe we should invest in the scratch business.
In the scratch business. Mark from Indiana writes, hi, any advice on the best way to transfer real estate to the children? The property is worth about $400,000. Good for you. Should we add children to the title, create a trust, or do nothing? Thanks for the show.
Yeah, create a trust.
Create a trust.
Yeah.
Plop that little baby right in there, huh?
And hand the trust control and percentage shares over to the kids. Yeah. And so, you know, they have the benefit of the property even after you pass. There's no probate because the property's already in the title of the trust.
Ooh.
So there's no messy business. But again, I'm just a coin dealer.
Just a coin dealer.
So, you know, get the advice of a tax professional and, you know, somebody who knows the marketplace as they intimately do, and see if it makes sense for you to have your property in the trust.
And that's pretty nice. I mean, if you're in a trust, and at least the long arm of the giant squid, the one we love, they can't get in and get your stuff, right?
Yeah, they can't go poking their tendrils in there.
Tendrils in there and saying, we want some. You know, it's ours.
Wait, this
Food.
Estate is worth more than this, so we're going to take this much.
Do people, Andrew, put their... Say if they got a really nice spiffy coin collection over many years,
Nobody knows about.
No. Let's not say that because they get in trouble. Let's just say they just got it. I mean, would you put that in a trust?
No, I do have trust coin collections that I work on, and they're intergenerational.
Yeah.
But you know, it's like putting your couch and your furniture in a trust. This is your personal property.
Yeah.
It's generally not included in the calculation of value. So it just passes along with the paintings and the artwork and the antique furniture.
And the gold necklaces and watches and stuff, right?
Right.
Same thing, right?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Among the many pieces of conflicting information, writes somebody here, that I hear is that the U.S. is the richest country, and then I hear that we are the biggest debtor. I also hear that every country has huge debts owed to whom I wonder. So where's the beef? The money has to be somewhere. It's not like we owe the money to an off-planet entity. Then I ran across a work by Walter Burian and Clint Richardson.
The Caffers.
Yeah, we've talked about these over years. It's a comprehensive annual financial report and all that. And these balance sheets remain ignored by the media, but now they show the government is the largest owner of stock in major corporations. They also show the budgets are generally set below what is needed. So a politician can always claim budgetary shortages requiring more taxes. So they also show that politicians do not talk about the other sources of revenue taken in. In one retirement account for teachers in Los Angeles alone, there's enough accrued wealth to cover California's whole debt. Uncle Sam definitely cooks the books.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, these off-the-books entities are the ones that accumulate the cash that makes up the CAFR.
The CAFRs.
Yeah.
And so who's in control of these money? It just depends?
Yeah, generally, well, the Garden State Turnpike Authority, New Jersey Turnpike, the Port Authority. Uh-huh. Each of these authorities has a board of directors and executive director, and they're in charge of the money.
Mm-hmm. I just heard that Switzerland just added several alternative real healing modalities to their insurance programs. They actually seem to be trying to save some money. What a novel idea. Huh. Yeah, good luck with living in Switzerland, though. Your taxes are probably, 78%? Not bad, you know?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Well, you know, we talk about the H4, to answer the writer's question, we talk about the H4-1 release, right? H4-1, yeah, sure. Federal Reserve, right? Mm-hmm. Well, the Z1, I believe, is the report that covers total U.S. assets. So, you know, there's a lot in terms of what Americans are worth, and unfortunately, a lot of it is being transferred to foreign ownership. So I think total accumulated U.S. wealth in the United States is probably somewhere around $225
trillion. $225
trillion? Yeah, that's household, businesses, state, local governments,
and federal
governments.
That's if you have a garage sale.
Yeah, if you took it all together. So we're really not as bad off as it would appear by looking at our enormous bonded debt of $20 trillion and our potential liability of $80 is still, that would require taking a quarter of everything everyone owns just to pay. So I see that as a problem. Many don't.
Yeah. Check this out. Who'd have thunk it? I remember when they first started, I bought about 100 shares of Netflix. They were really cheap. Of course, you know, being a dumb guy, I sold them sometime, you know, when I needed the money. But Netflix has now more subscribers than all of cable.
Cabledom is done.
Wow.
Cutting the cord. Man. Yeah, people are going right to Netflix and Amazon and bypassing those big three networks are going to be worthless in 5 years.
And what now is cool, too, is like you can go on YouTube, all these different places, and like sign up for $9 or something and get whatever, Showtime or whatever channel you want, and then watch it on your phone or on your computer. Or, man, it's a whole brave new world out there now. But
it is indeed, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you know one thing that they're going to need for all of this, Andrew? Okay, this is a quiz. See if you guess. The answer is not Goldman Sachs.
Okay? Right.
What is going to be the one thing that is going to really be needed in the future with all this technology? What is it?
Content.
Content. We should get in the content business.
Yes.
What do you think?
Make a movie or two.
Yeah, let's be movie producers.
Yeah, why not?
Content.
Oh, wait, doing that.
Content. Yeah, that's like plastics in the Graduate, right? When he listed plastics, you know?
Plastics.
Plastics.
Yes.
Now it's content.
Content.
Boy, they're going to be eating up movies like, whoa.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right, well. Okay, I'm with you. I'm going to do it too. Thanks a lot, brother. Appreciate everything. What's your phone number up there if you'd like to be talking?
Yeah, you want to talk coins? Yeah, 800-468-2646. 800-468-2646.
Uh-huh. And you have a pleasant day there, Mr. G. We'll see you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you. Andrew Goss, Patrick Timpone. We're going to have fun tomorrow. Not on the tip of my tongue who's going to be there. But I'm sure we'll... Oh, yeah, we're going to do another thing about cell phone towers, stuff like that, and the EMFs and some of the new research out, and it's not pretty. But, we can protect ourselves. Get a little tinfoil hat. I'll see you guys tomorrow. I love you all very much. Thanks to Lynn for taking notes for us and your ongoing support of our products.
Broadcasting from the beautiful Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.